The Old Testament lesson today is from Leviticus 13, verses 40 through 46. If a man's hair falls out from his head, he is bald. He is clean. And if a man's hair falls out from his forehead, he has baldness of the forehead. He is clean. But if there is on the bald head or the bald forehead a reddish-white diseased area, it is a leprous disease breaking out on his bald head or his bald forehead. Then the priest shall examine him, and if the diseased swelling is reddish-white on his bald head or his bald forehead, like the appearance of leprous disease in the skin of the body, he is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest must pronounce him unclean. His disease is on his head. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. The New Testament lesson is from Mark chapter 1, verses 35 through 45. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place. And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. This is the word of the Lord.
Okay, well, there we go. Another moment where we have Jesus running into the sick and the demonic. You'll notice that again and again. I want to remind you that when Jesus comes to set things to rights, he has to clean out the serpent from the garden. And then he can begin the new creation, which is represented in healing. And you're going to see that again and again in Mark. Now, leprosy is a mysterious one for most of us because it's not something most of you have, I'm sure. And even then, leprosy wasn't what you probably thought today. Leprosy was not always Hansen's disease, the familiar one you've known from watching your Jesus movies. They represent Hansen's disease. It was any skin condition that was contagious. And just a quick synopsis that skin conditions biblically were seen as a curse from God, the curse from the garden. It was a very, very bad thing to have. It was considered that you were the walking dead, interestingly. To heal leprosy, biblically, it says it's like raising the dead. It was the ultimate curse because it not only did it affect you physically through suffering, your whole social network was destroyed. Good thing modern people don't get freaked out by diseases, eh? COVID. I mean, you know, I read this and I can't help but think that we moderns are going to giggle at them, but there's a part of me that goes, should we? Are we any more advanced in our reaction? Well, I don't want to use COVID too easy, but I do want to tell you a story. Now, some of you were pretty young, so you may not remember this, but for us old timers, and by the way, I realized how old I was the other day. I was taking pictures for a Thanksgiving dinner, and I had my finger over it. That is such a my dad type of thing to do, and here I was. But you can see enough of them. But the virus that I'm going to talk about was a virus that came out when I was about 15 called AIDS. Do you guys remember that? Now, when AIDS came, nobody knew what it was. I remember, I'm old enough to remember when this kind of stuff would happen. This is from 1985, Time magazine. AIDS, growing threat, what's to be done? Nobody really knew what this was. What was this disease that all of a sudden was coming? And you could imagine the usual fear and panic and extreme responses to this situation. It got to the point where we didn't even know how you caught it. This was an interesting ad. You won't get AIDS from a public pool. Do you remember those days where you wondered if you got it from a toilet seat or a public pool or if it was kissing the wrong person? There was a time where this all hit, and just like COVID, people were crazy afraid. Well, pretty soon, what did you get? You figured out that it was spreading amongst one community in particular, right? The gay community. And this is the actual first headline that came out of Britain. Britain threatened by gay virus plague. So you see, they were just as rational as we've been with COVID. Right? In fact, then the next thing that came out, which I thought was very interesting, is this question. How gay do you have to be to catch AIDS? I didn't read the article, but this was the level of mentality. And oh, it rings of what we just went through. Well, you can imagine. The church handled this with great prestige, with loving arms. They came around all of the victims. Nope. AIDS is the wrath of God, says Vicar. And so we have another situation where God is seen as punishing the outcast, throwing them aside. And it was not one of the high points of much of Christianity, the way we handled this. I mean, the homosexual community was already on the outside. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If it was the wrath of God, God doesn't have a very good aim. I actually had a fellow high school student who died from AIDS from a blood transfusion. I knew of young children who died of this disease. It's very sad when we say things like this. The question is, what is going on when these situations happen? What do you do with leprosy? What is God on about when he's asking them to leave the city? What is the will of God? Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. Jesus, we thank you that you showed us the will of the Father, that you fully exegeted, that you fully presented and represented the Father's heart. We pray the wisdom would come from you so that we can see what that means to us today as we try and follow you. Amen. Well, it starts off, and I want to start off with, first of all, what we read today. The leprous person, this is out of Leviticus, who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, and thank you for doing that. Unclean, unclean. I won't lie. When my daughter had COVID, I made her yell that out around the house because I thought it was funny. My poor daughter. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. Well, there was no cure. And the big point was, he shall live alone. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Wow. He's not supposed to be around anybody, is he? He's cursed. Don't forget, he has the curse, which for most of them represented he did something especially bad. It was like in the 80s when somebody got AIDS. Oh, they must have been very gay. Remember? This person had done something so bad. So that when we hear this story, I want you to put it in light of that. You can't go near a community. You can't go near people. And one thing you didn't do, if you were any kind of good Jew, was touch a leper. So here we go. Jesus has just cast out demons, has healed the mother-in-law, and rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departs and goes out to a desolate place. That's where Israel goes to meet with God. And don't forget, Jesus represents Israel. And there he prayed, and Simon and those who were with him searched for him, looking all over, where is this guy? And they found him and they said to him, and when it can only be understood in frustration, I mean, why aren't you back in the town? You're becoming popular, right? Hey, everyone is looking for you. You can see the frustration in their voices. But he doesn't answer them the way they want. He said to them, let's go on to the next towns, the next villages. Why would we go on? We just made popularity where we were. But Jesus is not there for popularity. That I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. What is Jesus preaching? The Lord has arrived. Yahweh has become present. The promise of all of the prophets, Isaiah, Malachi, Jeremiah, that God would come into his place, has come fulfilled in Jesus. And he went through all of Galilee, preaching in their synagogues, and he correlates synagogue with demons again. Because religious people, more than anything else, like to think they're like God. And that was the temptation of the serpent. How do you defeat the serpent? You have to get people to realize they're not like God. And a leper came to him. Now you can imagine this. Big crowd around him. He's preaching. And all of a sudden you could hear the voice coming from behind. Unclean! Unclean! Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being there? One thing for sure is the crowd just went... right? Nobody knew this man. All they knew is he was the one that was cursed. He was a nobody. He was the worst thing that ever existed. And the leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, if you will. So here we go. What is God's will? If you will, you can make me clean. Funny, he has more faith than the disciples. He really believes this thing can turn itself around. But the question for him is, would God really will this to someone like me? Moved with emotion, it says in the Greek, he stretched out his hand and touched him. The shock in that community to see that. I want you to understand, Jesus was radical. He was not Mr. Rogers. He was someone who did the unexpected, even the deplorable acts. And he said to him, I will. Remember, he says, this is about God arriving. God's will, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Can you imagine being there? You might notice that men like this don't go into the temple. They don't go in the synagogue. They don't go anywhere. So do you think any of this crowd has ever seen a leper clean? They live alone. This has never been seen. I can imagine the absolute shock. And he was made clean. Because the will of God is to restore and reconcile. And that's why he came up to clean out the serpents and clean out the dredge. Not to point at someone's scabs. Now Jesus does something interesting here. He becomes frustrated. The question is why? And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once. What is Jesus' frustration here? Is he frustrated because he's run into the reality of this world that we have destroyed? Like when he weeps at Lazarus' grave. Is he frustrated because evil is before him again and that symptom is there? Or is he frustrated with this man? We don't know. But he's frustrated and he sternly warns him as he sends him away. And he said, see that you show nothing, you say nothing to anyone. But go, show yourself to the priest and offer your cleansing, what Moses commanded, for a proof to them. Now what that meant, by the way, folks, is he now had to travel to Jerusalem, about a 7-day journey. And then he had to go in the temple for 7 days to show he was clean. And then, the priest would say he was clean and he could now be welcomed back into the community. See, Jesus' role is not to do something to cause problems. He's actually come in to set people right, to reconcile them. And that's why he asked them to do it. It's not because, by any means, Jesus is always going to want to follow the law. Especially these purity laws. But he wants this man reconciled. So go do what I am. Shut up and go. That's what he says. So the man, of course, does exactly that, right? He shuts up and he just kind of, nope. But he went about and began to talk freely about it. He refuses to follow the very one who healed him. Why does he do that? I don't know. Fame? Look at me. I've arrived. We're left to wonder, but he doesn't obey the healer. He doesn't obey. And this leaves a mark for other people. Because when we don't obey, it affects others. He go about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town. What was his call? To go in the towns and pronounce the news that Yahweh was present. Because of the popularity, he can't do it. But was out in the desolate places and people were coming to him from every quarter. The goal of Jesus was to come into city to city and pronounce this good news in their community. Now he's stuck in the wilderness with people having to travel to him. Because one man who had his life turned around refused to follow him. It's a complex healing story, isn't it? God has come and he didn't listen. And now people are stuck if they want to have the good news to come to him. He wanted to come to them. The will of God is something I get asked a lot, and of course during COVID. Why did COVID come? Was it made in a lab? I don't know. I'm not that smart. None of you are either. Well, you might know. Maybe one of you worked there. I don't know. Why did AIDS come? Was it really because of some air stewardess who did something really awful? Maybe. I don't know. Why does Ebola exist? The truth is, I'll tell you one thing. When you ask me why, the same answer is going to come up. We live in a broken world full of broken humans, and oftentimes broken humans, if not created, we certainly don't stop it. And in our fear and hatred, we isolate one another. Guaranteed. I don't know if you noticed during COVID, but there was a little tension in Canada. People absolutely despised each other. Absolutely. Churches split. What I can do is answer you the will of God. You see, the will of God is very clear. From the beginning, the will of God is clear. He gives them the garden, and it's beautiful, and they have life. And they choose to be like God in death. And He provides them with clothing, and He sends them out, and He keeps blessing them and blessing them and blessing them. And humanity keeps walking away and walking away and walking away. And God does everything in His possible can, even saying, listen, if you keep going, I'm going to throw you in exile. And they keep going because they want to worship the gods made in their image because they want to be God. But even then, the prophets promise again and again. The prophets that these people who stood around Jesus would have remembered verses like this to Israel. For I know the plans I have for you as a nation, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's the will of God. Isaiah later on, in just as toxic a situation, says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I could go on and on and on. I just picked these two texts in particular of God's will being pronounced again and again. The Old Testament God is not evil. And He's not angry. He's gracious and generous, and He's promising this. But Israel keeps doing what we do. They keep not listening. So the promise has to come that Yahweh will come and set things to rights. Yes, I am. By the way, for those of you who notice on the screen, I have no idea why that mallet's going to hit an egg. Doesn't seem to fit the text. I didn't make this. But the point being, Jesus Christ comes, and Mark's gospel's all about the coming of Yahweh. John has come and prepared a way. Yahweh's going to come and bless and bless and bless. But will we exceed with the curse? Jesus said this, I came that they might have life and have it in abundance. Think of that. That's the will of God. I came that they may have life and have it in abundance. How often do we think God's just waiting to thump us when we screw up? Paul, for his sake, he can't help but note this. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace. That's the will of God. Through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. That's the will of God. Peter himself, he must build on this. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promises, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. That's the will of God. We often like to blame God. Oh, it was a vicar who said that this was God's judgment on gays. My question is, that doesn't sound a lot like the God and the will of God throughout the Scriptures. It seems that we are pretty good at judging ourselves with this stuff. And then excluding and hating each other when we find it. See, the thing is, we think in terms of good and bad, good things happening to good people, bad things happening to bad people. We always have. And then we can isolate those who have the bad things happening to them, and those who have the good things happening, those are the people we want to hang out with. It's like a really pathetic junior high school. We want to hang out with the cool kids. But guess what? That's not God's way. How is God's will achieved? How does God pull this off? Well, I want to go back to Hebrews for a second. Listen to this. Remember how they would throw them outside the tent, the lepers? Hebrews says this, so Jesus also suffered where? Outside the gate, in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. What Hebrews is saying to you is how Jesus wins is he becomes the leper. He becomes the outcast. He becomes the lonely. He doesn't win by becoming the coolest. He wins by becoming the least. Mark, at his time of great suffering on the cross, says this, and in the afternoon Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Everyone thinks, well, that's when God turned his eyes away. How can that be in the Trinity? That's not what this means. Why does he sit up there and quote that psalm, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's quoting a psalm of a man who's forsaken. I'll tell you why he did that on the cross, because the same God who became leper outside the city also says, I'm the God that identifies with the forsaken, even in my death. And the God who was torn clothes, naked, spit upon, was the lowest, stood up and said, I am the God that represents you. What is his will if he's willing to go that far? Tim Keller, on the cross, Jesus was treated as an outcast so that we could be brought into God's family freely by grace. Because here's the truth. Y'all are outcasts. So am I. Y'all are lepers. So am I. And he came into our world where no one would dare to touch us. And he came in and touched us. That's the gospel. The question isn't whether that happened or not. The question isn't even whether you've accepted that or not. But the question, I think, out of this is, what is our response? This man is given a response, isn't he? And sometimes, by the way, it's okay for Christians to shut up. It is. You know, the ones that are like, rawr, 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 you're going to go to hell if you don't believe. Rawr, rawr, rawr. Okay, shh, shh. It's all right. Sometimes it's okay to listen for God when he tells us to open our mouths. But what is our response to a God who does this? Do we run off and announce it so that he can't keep working? Do we make it about ourselves, like what I think the leper did? Or do we change our ways? Our first response is to realize that there is no one who isn't invited into our community. There now is no outcast. I don't care if they have COVID or AIDS. I don't care what disease or what thing that you think they should be out. Jesus did not welcome us to kick them out. Alistair Begg, there's no one who is insignificant in the purpose of God. No one. That means everyone, even the worst, are welcomed into his kingdom. And I know it'll make you uncomfortable, because I'm sure you've got somebody in your head who hurt you. But that person belongs. That's not easy. But you understand, as this is said by Miroslav Volf, by embracing the outcast, Jesus underscored the sinfulness of persons and systems that cast them out. I've thought a lot about this over the years. I've read a lot of church history. And don't hear me the wrong way, the church has been wonderful at times, but it has been awful at times. Kicking out their outcasts because they didn't hold the right theological nuanced view, or they didn't wear the right clothes, or God forbid, they had failed morally. And how many times the leper came into our churches and said, "If you will, I can be healed." And we said, "Nah, we don't will." A man came into our church one time, apparently, and he had cheated on his wife. And he came and told an elder, and he confessed the sin. And the elder pulled him up in front of the church and told the whole church. And the man never saw the church again. He was sick and he was thrown out. "If you will, I will be healed." And we willed that he be judged. God forgive us. I wasn't there. What does Hebrews tell us to do? Well, remember how Jesus was put outside the gate? Well, guess what he says to us? "Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come, the city where lepers are healed and outcasts are welcomed in." Let us not just be welcoming. Let's go out and be part of the less desirables. And next time there's a virus, let's not hate each other. Let's go and hang out and love one another. You know, I've often said that Jesus has a plan for your life. It's just what you're going to do with that plan, but he'll use you one way or the other. I remember reading this from C.S. Lewis, and I think it's a great quote. "For you will certainly carry out God's purpose, however you act, but it makes a difference to you whether you serve like Judas or like John." Who are we going to be, Mountain View Church? Are we going to be a church where the outcasts can come in and be healed? Are we going to come under the illusion that there's something special about us? One way leads to the God who became a leper for us. Or the gods of this age. I'll leave it with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to forgive us. Forgive us when we have walked the way of arrogance, where we believed our own press, that there's something special about us. Lord, forgive us when that person who comes in who seems socially less than us or believes different than us, but they're coming for healing, forgive us when we have shunned them. Lord, remind us again and again that we are the lepers, the leper, the lonely, seeking a home. And you came and touched us when we were untouchable. Make us a people that follow you, even if it makes the world look at us and say, what fools. We pray, Lord, in this world, that while we stand firm for righteousness and true life and true behavior, that we welcome those who haven't figured it out yet. And in those areas we haven't figured out yet, please, please, please show us mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.